Welcome to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga. It's the spring training edition of our podcast, and we're joined by Cleveland.com's Paul Hoynes from Goodyear, Arizona. Paul, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Joe.
What's the weather like out there? How is it today?
It's blowing like crazy. There's like a dust storm in front of the complex. I think it's colder here than it was in Cleveland today. That's what somebody said.
Yeah, it's pretty balmy here. The temperature's gone up, so not too bad. But the Indians had their first full squad workout today, correct?
Yeah, first full squad workout. Everybody was here that was supposed to be here, and everything went well. No, you know, nobody got hurt, and they're like three days away from their first exhibition game. So things are moving rapidly.
Terry Francona met with the team before their workout today. It's his annual message to the guys. What did Terry say afterwards about the meeting that he had with the team and how they received his message?
Yeah, he said, you know, it's the same message that he gives that he's given the last 5 years. You know, respect the game, play hard, don't back down from anybody, and everybody's heard it, I guess, a couple times now, more than a couple times. But I think he said it bears repeating. So, everybody, it reinforces what the team is here for, what the veterans are here for, and also, gives the message to the new guys here, like, Yonder Alonso and people like that. So I think it was pretty – I don't think it's a fire and brimstone thing, but – I think, everybody gets to talk. The clubhouse guys talk. The traveling secretary talks. So, I think it's kind of a meet and greet that just the players know exactly who people are and how they help them do their job.
And it really is the stepping off point for the season, correct? This is like now from now until pretty much the last out of the last game, whether that's the regular season or the playoffs. This is it. This is go time for them.
Yeah. This is, and Francona doesn't hold many meetings. I don't think he's a big believer in that. And he said, hopefully this is the last meeting we have for a long time. And you're right. You kind of lay the framework of what the team wants to accomplish, what they're here for. And I think that's pretty clear, based on what they've done over the last 5 years, especially the last 2 years, that, the postseason is the goal, and to go deep into the postseason.
You were able to take in that first workout and be around the guys. Anything jump out at you? Anything noticeable? Anything different about any of the players? About any of their approaches? What did you hear and see while you were around the cages and around the guys at the first workout?
Just the normal stuff. Nothing really, surprising. I just, you realize how big these guys are. You realize, Bradley Zimmer is like, he really is sick. He looks like he's 6'8". He looks like he grew about 3 inches. And, Edwin Encarnacion, those guys, they're just big men. And you realize, you got to have some talent to play this game. And, it was fielding drills, the usual stuff, but nothing, nothing that really jumped out. But the size of the guys, that's what kind of impressed me. And, you saw, guys taking ground balls at first and second and third and working on infield plays. So I think, it's just kind of, the first day of many here. So we'll see what tomorrow brings.
From the photos and the videos that I've seen coming out of Arizona so far, besides the obvious silver hairdo, does Frankie Lindor look like he's hit the weight room a little bit? He looks like you said bigger, but looks like he's gotten stronger, gotten a little bit bigger. He's a guy who hit 33 home runs last year. Is it necessary or possible for him to have gotten bigger in the off season?
Yeah, he said, I talked to him today. Said he weighs about 190 pounds. He looks cut. I think he was joking around saying, yeah, I might have lifted weights once a week during the off season. So I think, I think he kind of concentrated on that. You know, last year he said he came to a camp. He had just been sick, and he, you know, his weight had dropped to like 180, 170, the high 170s. So now he says he's at 190, and he played between 185 and 190 last year. So, you know, I think he just looks, you know, he looks like a guy that's spent the winter in the gym. And gradually, you know, I think that probably the baseball season wears you down. So we'll see, you know, and it's good to do as much work in the off season and keep that program going during the regular season.
Over the weekend, the Indians added Raji Davis on a minor league deal, non-roster invitee to big league camp. So Raji is back. And just to touch on Frankie with Raji a little bit, the stolen base aspect and the speed aspect might have taken a little hit last year with Raji not being back with the club. Is there anything Frankie and possibly Jose Ramirez can take from having Raji around, you know, the stolen base expertise and experience? Can we maybe see, that part of the profile maybe increase for both of them with Raji being added and possibly being part of the roster?
Yeah, I definitely think so. When he was here 2 years ago, he led the American League in steals, and that really he pushed the rest of the team. He pushed guys like Kipnis and Lindor and Jose Ramirez. So, you know, those guys can still run, and I think he'll help them if he makes the club. And, you know, Melvin Upton can run as well. I think they're both in the top 10 among active players, Raja and Melvin in steals among active players. I think, you know, Raja's got like almost 400 and Upton's got 300. So whoever makes that club or maybe they both make the club depending, you know, on how the roster is put together. So I think they do add an element of speed.
I saw a video clip of Francisco Lindor comparing the disappointment of the postseason the last couple of years to an ex-girlfriend. What do you take from Frankie's take on comparing the postseason tribulations to the ex-girlfriend situation?
Yeah, you said someone asked him, have you gotten over it? You know, have you gotten over getting knocked out of the postseason last year? And he goes, you never get over it. It's like you never get over an ex-girlfriend. You know, you move on, you turn the page, but you always remember her and you don't forget it. So I think I think he would probably say the same thing about being up 2-0 against the Yankees and losing 3 straight.
As of right now, from what you can see, the pitchers and the hitters, who's ahead of whom right now at this point, and, you know, it's what, 2 days in, but like you said, the first games are coming up on Friday.
Yeah, the pitchers usually have an edge now. They haven't started live batting practice. I don't, usually you don't start that right now, but maybe they'll do that in the next couple games just because, they are playing Friday. So, but usually, the pitchers have been in camp maybe 4, 5, 6 more days than the hitters. So they usually have an advantage at this point of spring training. The hitters catch up quickly. But right now, the pitchers have the edge. But, Francona always says, the one thing you can get where you get fooled, Joe, in spring training, I think, is with hitters, especially when a guy hits 400 in spring training, it's usually because pitchers are only throwing fastballs right down the middle, and you can't really evaluate players, pitchers and hitters, in spring training or in September, because those are kind of skewered months or skewered periods of time for scouts.
Another thing that Terry Francona is, you know, fond of saying is that opening day isn't really a real good benchmark for players that are recovering from injuries or working through or rehabbing injuries. So put on the medical outfit now and tell us about, you know, where everybody is who's rehabbing injuries.
Yeah, Michael Brantley is, you know, took BP today. Looked very impressive. He's still run, you know, he hasn't started cutting when he's running, but he's running in a straight line. He can throw, he can swing the bat. So, you know, they still don't know if he's going to be ready opening day. Brandon Guyer, another outfielder coming off left wrist surgery, is going to, you know, see the doctor that performed the surgery on Thursday, and they'll, you know, he'll tell him when he can start his, you know, swinging the bat. He's running, he's you know, swinging the bat one-handed right now. He can throw, he can do everything except really, you know, swing the bat under normal conditions. So we'll find out about him. Danny Salazar is, you know, still kind of working into his throwing program. He's playing catch. He's got the sore right shoulder. And I think I'm probably missing somebody, but those are the three guys that kind of jump out at you.
And as you reported this morning, Francona did sit down with Jason Kipnis and Jose Ramirez to talk about, you know, what they can expect and what they should sort of set their approach to. What do you take from what Terry said about those conversations?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, you know, it's pretty much what everybody has been saying during most of the offseason since the Indians kind of really made the decision to say, okay, we're going to put Kipnis back at second base and go from there. You know, when they had tried to trade him, and it obviously didn't work. I think, you know, he told Kipnis, hey, go out in spring training and approach it like you're a second baseman. If we have to adjust, we'll do it together. Then with Ramirez, he told him basically the same thing. He said, you're my third baseman. Go out there, get ready as a third baseman. And if we have to change, we'll talk about it. And then we'll make the move. But right now, you know, both Kipnis and Ramirez are taking ground balls at second and third, respectively.
Just from a third-person perspective, just to see Francona back with the team and interacting with the guys after the passing of his father, what's your take on Tito's approach and how he appears to be back with the team now that he's there?
Yeah, I think he's really happy to be back here. You know, I thought what he said yesterday, he told the reporters, you know, how he had gone home to New Brighton and spent, you know, a couple of days there with his family following the death of his father, helped bury his father. And then he said, I spent time with my family. Then I came back to Goodyear to be with my family again. So I think it's really kind of he's found some comfort and security. And just a sense of well-being. I think, you know, he's obviously, you know, I think Cleveland is a big part of his, you know, kind of DNA, you know, his whole family's DNA. His dad played here. He played here. He's had five great years as managing the club here. You know, he's got some deep roots, and I think it's comforting to know for him to just be back in there and doing what he's, you know, spent most of his adult life doing. So I think that was, you know, he really kind of, I admired how he handled himself yesterday.
Over the weekend, the announcement came out that the San Diego Padres had signed Eric Hosmer, one of the big sort of free agents still lingering out there in sort of limbo right up until that point. But this is a guy who the Indians would face 19 times a year with the Kansas. That's been taken out of their lineup. How is this going to impact, or does it impact the Central Division in any way with Hosmer now going to the West Coast with San Diego?
Yeah, I think it does. Excuse me. Obviously, impact, you know, the Indians and every other team in the AL Central. This you know, he was an all-star type player, you know, first baseman, swung the bat well, played good defense, and now he's going to the National League. And like you said, Joe, they're not going to see him 19 times a year. And Hosmer always hit well against the Indians, it seemed like to me. So that, you know, that's a plus for the Tribe. It makes their job a little bit easier. You know, I'm still surprised he went to San Diego. I don't quite understand that. You're 28. I understand the money, but you're 28. You're going to a team that has really struggled and is still rebuilding. I would think, you know, he's won a World Series. Wouldn't he want to go to an environment where he could do that again? Now, I don't know how many other offers he did receive, you know, from contending teams, but you know, it's getting late in spring training, and maybe he just decided, hey, this is the best offer I'm going to get, and it's a great offer, and let's go. You know, maybe San Diego's not a bad place to play or live.
And it's not a bad place if you have to go and play Major League Baseball to be in the weather down there. What does that say then? Maybe about Mike Moustakas and the Royals' ability to bring him back. They've lost Lorenzo Cain to Milwaukee. Hosmer's gone. You know, this is a Moustakas is a guy who they could maybe make an offer to and bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know, that's the one guy I haven't heard anything about. Is Moustakas, you know, left-handed hitting, you know, he set the left-handed hitting third baseman, set the franchise record in home runs last year. And, you know, he really hasn't registered much of a blip on the radar screen as far as the interest goes. You know, it's an interesting situation. And he's not the only guy out there in that situation. I mean, you know, Jake Arrieta is struggling. Is looking for work. There's a bunch of guys still looking for work. So, I think Moustakas, you know, maybe he gets to the position where he's got to take a 1 year deal. You know, have a good year and then go back out in the free agent market and see what if the interest is any stronger.
All right. Also today. Yeah, Major League Baseball made the announcement that there will not be a pitching clock in 2018. No 20-second pitch clock to improve the pace of play, but they are going to limit the number of mound visits, and not just mound visits by coaches, but by players as well. So you can't run your shortstop out there to buy a little time to warm up a guy in the bullpen as much. You can't, any more than six times in a game. I recall talking to Mike Clevenger and a couple other Indians pitchers who said that there are teams, and he wasn't really willing to name teams or names, but I feel like Detroit was one of them who particularly abused that sort of privilege up until now, and this will be a change in 2018 that we're expecting. But has there been any reaction to or relief that there isn't going to be a 20-second pitch clock among the players now?
You know, Francona was talking about that. He was under the impression that there was going to be a pitch clock, but obviously there isn't. So maybe that's still in the testing phase. You know, I did talk to Roberto Perez and Jan Gomes about the limiting of the mound visits. Gomes seemed to say that he didn't. You know, with the six visits, he goes, you're limited to six visits under these new rules, the catcher or the teammate or a pitching coach or a manager. And he said that's about average for us. You know, he said, you know, I usually don't like to go to the mound and talk to my pitcher during a game because, you know, everything's moving pretty fast during the game. He said that when I talk to him is between innings on the bench. I think that's the best time to do it. Perez was a little more he was a little more concerned. He said, you know, what happens if you think somebody's stealing signs on second base, a base runner stealing signs? You know, you got to go out there and change. But both of them said they had to look at the new rules and sit down and talk about them and see how the Indians are going to handle it as a team.
You know, it just seems to me that they tried to make a change here that would you know, decrease the amount of game time and all that without changing too much of the game. That, like, the players were upset about the idea of a pitch clock, but because it changed the essence of the game. Like, the game had never had a clock before. It was always, you know, it was 27 outs, not any sort of time limit. So I guess to see the agreement come, that it has sort of like the lightest touch to it, is probably a good thing for both sides, right?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, some trying to find some common ground. But, Joe, I think the pitch clock is coming here. If these games don't speed up, you know, it's the commissioner, I think, is going to push for this, push for a pitch clock in, you know, next season, even in 2019. I don't think we've heard the last of it. You know, we've seen it in the Arizona Fall League and in the minors. I think the pitchers coming up through that system, through the minors, will be used to it or have grown used to it. And I would not be surprised if within the next 2 or 3 years there's a pitch clock in every big league ballpark.
Right now we've got, you know, the full squad is there, as reported, has worked out. Any of the young guys, you know, stand out yet, or have you seen anything from them? Or is it just too early in camp to say anything?
It's pretty early, Joe. I haven't seen too much. You know, you see guys hit in BP, and that's about it. But there's nothing really that stands out. There's nothing really that, you know, jumps out at you. You know, you got to see the games and you know, when they start playing. And, you know, with only 4 days of workouts, you're not going to see too much about that. So, you know, I think, you know, obviously there's some guys you want to see, you know. You know, some of the guys you mentioned in your prospect report. You know, Eric Stamets is here. I'm outside doing this. Some tumbleweed just blew by me. I feel like I'm in Dodge City, waiting to see Marshall Dillon come down Main Street here.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
between the tumbleweed.
Yeah. Who's the first baseman at Double A?
Bobby Bradley.
Yeah, Bobby Bradley's here. I'd like to see him. There's Mejia's here. Obviously, he looks good. You know, he can really swing the bat. I was watching him in BP today, and he really swings the bat. And they were talking about maybe, you know, at some point playing him a little bit at third base this spring, just to get him some at bats. And you know, but they really like him as a catcher too. But Perez and Gomes are in front of him, so you know, I don't know how, you know, he's kind of blocked there. So, but if opportunity presents itself, either at third base or maybe in the outfield at some point in time, maybe later this year, I think he'd get a shot there. And that's a kid that is really kind of interesting to me. And, you know, Merritt, of course, is here, Ryan Merritt, and he's out of options. He's an option in the bullpen. And Francona came out and said today, we don't want to lose this guy.
Right. Yandy Diaz, has he hit a ball in the air in batting practice yet?
He hit some balls in the air. You couldn't help but hit it in the air today. The wind was blowing so hard. So, but he looks huge, man. He's just a big dude. He's a big dude, man. These guys, Zimmer, you know, is healthy. His hand is healed. Yandy had the pulled groin muscle. He looks fine. So, you know, I think they're, you know, they're ready to go. They're as ready as they're going to be, and they've got, you know, the first game starts Friday, so we'll see what happens.
All right, last question before I let you get going: were you able to look at Yonder Alonso in the cage and get anything just from taking in him in batting practice at all today?
I just saw, yeah, he was hitting. You know, he's got a nice swing. He was driving the ball, and he's driving the ball out of the park. I've watched him take ground balls at first base the last couple of days. He moves around really well for a pretty big guy. So, yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be a good fit. And I was talking to Lindor about the infield. If it stays this way, you know, if Brantley is able to open the season, on time in left field. Then he said, I asked him, what do you think about the infield if, Kipnis at second and Ramirez at third? And he goes, it looks great. We've got all-stars at every position. And that dawned on me for the first time that, yeah, they've got five all-stars right there. Four all-stars.
Well, and a two-time all-star in the past in Kipnis.
Yeah, right. So everybody on that infield has gone to at least one all-star game.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. Alonso's numbers did dip a little bit. His slugging and his on-base plus slugging percentage dipped a little bit when he went over to Seattle. Part of that could be the park, but, it also could be that the league sort of caught on to what he was doing and figured out how to attack him. How does he guard against that becoming an issue this season?
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Adjustments, I think, guys that lift the ball, that you concentrate on changing their launch angle. Pitchers have learned to combat that with, high fastballs and breaking balls in the dirt. So, that's the cat and mouse game that the pitchers and hitters play with each other. And that's the thing I'm sure that people are going to be watching with Alonso. Is what we saw last year, can he carry that into this year? And, so it's going to be interesting. And, the Indians obviously felt he did. That could work because they signed it for 2 years for $16 million. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay, we're approaching, like you said, the end of the week here. Friday will be the Cactus League opener between the Indians and the Reds. There'll be several more workouts between now and then that you'll be there to witness. And then the opener starts Friday. We'll try to talk to you again probably Thursday before that first Cactus League game, and then maybe briefly after the game on Friday. Paul, batten down the hatches if it's still windy. Hope for some better weather out there, and we'll talk to you again later on this week.
Okay, Joe. Thanks, man.